Friends and family of Bethlehem, return to the Lord. Once more, these are the words echoed before us in this season of Lent. And as we've heard, there is a season and a time for everything. The last few weeks, we've been looking at ways in which we can overcome the obstacles that maybe come in the seasons of our lives, obstacles that keep us from seeing purely the love and grace and forgiveness of our God. So, return to the Lord. That means we have to turn from something in order to get back to our eyes and attention on what our Lord is doing. So what can we turn from? As we've heard already in our scripture passage for today in Ecclesiastes, we heard from the wisdom of Solomon that there is a time for everything. And specifically, we heard today that there is a time to keep and a time to cast away. All right, so what does that mean? There's time for everything. Time to keep, time to give up. What I read in that is that there are boundaries in life, right? We have schedules, we have things to keep, we have days in which there are special things happening in different days. And of each day, we have things that must have special demands on our time, especially. Time is one of the biggest boundaries that we are either good at keeping or fail miserably. Now, selfishly enough, today's sermon is actually me preaching to myself. Admittedly, I have in the past been terrible at keeping good boundaries on myself. Imagine for a minute, you are a pastor, and I'll give you a glimpse maybe in a day. I might get a phone call that I have to be at some place really important, but I already made a promise to keep, to maybe see somebody else. Or maybe all at the same time, I have a third beckoning for my time from a family member. What do you do? Who do you say no to? Who do you say yes to? How do you keep a boundary? Where's your priority? Is it a person dying in a hospital? Is it somebody that maybe wants to tell you about the bake sale happening 3 weeks from now? Is it somebody that maybe wants to hear you tell you what you want for dinner coming up this week at home? How do you find good boundaries? How do you say yes to the right person at the right time? And how do you say no? That's just time. I'm sure a lot of you have demands on your time, just like that, at some point or another. But what does it mean to have a boundary when we're not talking about time? As we have said, there is a season for everything. So, specifically, I wanted to help us. Now, as a pastor, if you walk into my office, there's walls of books. One of them is this guy. It's important for me because it's all about tonight. It's self-titled. Boundaries. When to say yes, when to say no, to take control of your life. Now, for example, what does a boundary look like? I want to read from you a little passage. This is from a clinical psychologist that has maybe a Christian background. Boundaries. And this is a story of what happened one day when two parents came in to a counseling session. The parents of a 25-year-old man came to see me with a common request. They wanted me to fix their son, Bill. When I asked where Bill was, they answered, "Oh, he didn't want to come." "Why?" I asked. "Well, he doesn't think he has a problem," they replied. "Maybe he's right," I said, to their surprise. "Tell me about it." They recited a history of problems that had begun at a very young age for Bill. Bill had never been quite up to snuff in their eyes. In recent years, he had exhibited problems with drugs and alcohol and even an inability to stay in school or find a career. It was apparent that they loved their son very much and were heartbroken over the way that he was living. They had tried everything they knew to get him to change and live a responsible life, but all had failed. He was still using drugs, avoiding responsibility, and keeping questionable company. They told me that they had always given him everything he needed. He had plenty of money at school, so he wouldn't have to work, and he would have plenty of time for studying and social life. When he flunked out of one school or stopped going to classes, they were more than happy to do everything they could to get him into another school where it might be better for him. After they had talked for a while, I responded, "I think your son is right. He doesn't have a problem." You could have mistaken their expression for a snapshot. They stared at me in disbelief for a full minute. Finally, the father said, "Did I hear you right? You don't think he has a problem?" "That's correct," I said. "He doesn't have a problem. You do. He can do pretty much whatever he wants. No problem. You pay, you fret, you worry, you plan, you exert energy to keep him going. He doesn't have a problem because you have taken it from him. Those things should be his problem, but as it now stands, they are yours. So, would you like for me to help you help him to have some problems?" They looked at me like I was crazy, but some lights were beginning to go on in their heads. Now, this little story is an example of just how easy it is to not have boundaries. Scripture tells us to let your yes be yes and your no be no. And it's not just for parents or for children. Imagine at the workplace. You already got a ton of work to do. And maybe a supervisor or boss wants to lay another plate of more work to do on you. What do you do? What do you say? Are you afraid? Boundaries. That's what's important for us tonight and how we can see its relationship in our lives. There is a time to keep and a time to cast away, as Scripture tells us. So what are boundaries, again? I like to think of boundaries as invisible property lines of responsibility. Now, I'm guessing most of you have a little piece of land that you call home, right? Some of you maybe even have fences for boundary markers against your neighbor. Maybe you have some nice trees. Some of you maybe have a big patch of woods. How would you like it if tonight somebody was willing to cross over on your land and throw a party in the middle of the night? Who's to say it's not their land to go on? Maybe they have a little posted on your hunting patch of woods that maybe you want to say, "No trespassing," right? Opening morning, you're out there, there's a couple guys just sitting right where you want to go. No boundaries, why not? So think of boundaries in the rest of our lives as those invisible property lines. You and I, all of us, have boundaries, whether we believe it or not. Or at least we have the potential to. And these are their three ways. The boundaries of me and not me. Now let me explain. Boundaries define what me is and what is not me. Or you could say the same for you and what isn't you. One way of looking at boundaries is that they show us where we end and where someone else begins. Take, for example, your relationships in your families. Sometimes different family members have those boundaries of areas of roles or influence that are important. We don't tell or demand somebody to do something that isn't supposed to be demanded or asked of them. Me and not me. There's boundaries of two and four. So let me explain that. There's boundaries that help us realize that we are responsible to others and that we are responsible for others, right? We are responsible to our governors and president, even though we don't always like it. We're responsible to our employers, our bosses, even if we don't like them. And parents, your kids are and should be responsible and look up to you. Likewise, parents, you're responsible for your kids and children. Church leaders are responsible for all of us as churchgoers. And the list keeps going on and on. We're responsible for me and not me, two and four. Now, here's one more. And this one you probably know the best. Boundaries of good in and bad out, right? You see, boundaries help us to distinguish our property, of course, but also help us distinguish the guarding of our hearts so that we can take care of it. Boundaries are fences, you can think of it that way. They're fences to keep the bad things out of our lives, but let the good things in, the things that are meant to be, those that have keys to open the fence. Now, what are some other examples of real-life boundaries? Well, let's just even start physically, right? Take a look at your hand. You have boundaries, you have called skin. That's a boundary, right? It keeps the blood, it keeps all the weird stuff in that you don't get dirt inside your blood system, right? That's a boundary. We have boundaries of our words. A lot of us don't say the things we say around home when we come to church. A lot of us say words around our friends we don't say around our family. We have boundaries. We have boundaries of truth. We have boundaries of geography, right? There's a line that cuts off right before you get into that state where they love the Bears and the Blackhawks and all those other teams we don't want to celebrate. Illinois. There's boundaries of time. We know that one's pretty important. Boundaries even of emotional distance. How many of you ever were dating and you broke up with somebody and the person that you broke up with just keeps calling you or sending you messages and just nags on you? Like you want to get away from them. A lot of people run back to their exes because they don't have boundaries and eventually have unhealthy relationships. We have boundaries over other people. Right? When we're married, we don't have relationships with people that aren't our spouse. We shouldn't. We have boundaries of other people. We have boundaries on our feelings. There's a wise quote often that no one has the ability to make you feel inferior without your consent. A lot of people like for you to feel the way that they feel. A lot of people might come to me really worked up and maybe upset about something. And inherently, my biological system means I'm urged to feel so excited along with them so I can sympathize with them. But I have to say no. The same goes for us, for all of you. We have boundaries on our feelings. No one can let you feel what they feel. You have control over your emotions. That's very important when it comes to the church. We have boundaries on our choices. What do you do when your friends are out partying, drinking, smoking, doing drugs? Are you going to do that too? Is your friend going to jump over a bridge and you're going to do that too, they say? Think of your boundaries. Values. Now, we're not talking politics, but maybe, but Christian values certainly come in. Are we going to follow the rest of the world? Are we going to advocate for sexuality differences? Transgenderism, homosexuality is all over the news. What are we going to do about it as Christians? Are we going to approach it with love or hate or understanding or somewhere in between? What does God say? Where are your values? And are you going to stick to them? Or are you going to run off and be like the rest of the world. You have boundaries on your talents. Some of you might have hidden musical abilities, but maybe are squelched because somebody maybe complained about it, and you don't want to show it off anymore. Maybe you really like to read, but somebody made fun of you for stuttering, and they squelched your great capacity to give a talent. Teachers, don't squelch talent. Embrace it. We have boundaries on our thoughts, our desires, and yes, our love. At least we have the potential for boundaries. That's what we read in Scripture, that there are times to keep and there's times to let go. We have boundaries in life, and that's a God-given reality. Now, speaking of God himself, God has boundaries for a good reason. God is separate from the rest of creation. He is the creator, not the creature. We are the creature, not the creator. We have no business telling God what to do. We can ask and maybe even heartfully, rightfully demand that he owns up on his promises, but we are not God, nor should we act like it. We don't have complete control over our bodies. We don't have complete control over what we say and do. We are owned and belonged by God. And so he is separate in his holiness. We are sinners. God is not. And yet he's also separate in his personhood. Today we celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And you can see around in our preschool that there's little three-leaf clovers we call shamrocks. St. Patrick is well known for teaching the concept of the Trinity, that we have one God and yet three parts. How do you explain that? We try with a clover, but yet God is separate. The Father is not Jesus. Jesus is not the Father. Jesus is Jesus, and he's not the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Father is God. There's boundaries on those three persons of the Trinity that we call the Creator, the Sanctifier, and the Redeemer. God has boundaries. He confronts sin. And you know it when he's doing it because it's in your heart when you have a conscience. We know right and wrong. Sometimes we'll do what we want to do anyway, but we know. And yet God, even though he confronts our sin, he hates sin. He loves the sinner. He allows forgiveness even the most detestable people that we know. They are people God redeemed and loved and still loves. And you are included in that list. So think of boundaries today. What are some boundaries that we need to reestablish? Let's think here at Bethlehem. I'm the newest of pastors. I've been here a full year now, and probably the craziest year of its 115 years of history here at Bethlehem. I love it. And as a new pastor, I get to find out all the complaints and hurts that maybe people have been silent about, and they want to just tell me to bring me up to speed. A lot of us here liked some pastors, and they didn't like others. A lot of us here liked what our preschool and our teachers have done, and a lot of us didn't, and still feel that way. A lot of us have created an us versus them mentality with our Sunday school and preschool students. We've let boundaries be non-existent in maybe people complaining about the debt for this wonderful building that we have. Holding on to the past, that's something that we have a boundary potential for. How many of you are still hurt from somebody or something? Somebody maybe have done you wrong, maybe said something nasty, maybe they intended it, maybe they didn't, but you still are hurting. Maybe it's from a church member still. Some people are still holding grudges in their church, and it needs to stop. This is a perfect year to do that. There are some people here that are maybe holding grudges with our family. It needs to stop. This is a new year, a new day, and this is a day the Lord has made full of forgiveness. We have boundaries that we need to keep. The past is past. The future is now. We are resurrection people living Easter right here now today, even though it's the middle of Lent. So where are your boundaries going to be? We look at our relationship with God. He calls for good boundaries. So take those hurts maybe of the past, maybe the bad memories. We hear the phrase forgive and forget. We know what forgiveness means, but sometimes we just can't forget. What I'm asking for us tonight to do is to make one boundary in your life starting today. Take your past failures, your past experiences, your past bad memories, the moments that you failed in keeping your promises, and lay them at the foot of the cross. That's a boundary marker for all of us as Christians. Because that is the place where God stands the boundary. That sin and death have no power over. We have the promise of life and forgiveness and a new day. We get to say, return to the invitation once more. There is a new season of growth, not just for here, Bethlehem. There's a new season of growth for you. Grow a little closer to the Lord because the invitation is there. And Jesus is already pulling you toward the way. As we approach this new season among us, in this season of spring and of Lent, return to the Lord. Amen.